The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell down on his knees before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, Pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to thank Rachel for inviting me to preach again. It's always a pleasure to be here. So let's take a look at the collect for this morning, okay? Because the collect for the day, in very nice English parlance, says, we're in deep trouble if God is not with us. Oh God, because without you, we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Without God, life is mean and brutish and punishing. It's like torment. If we choose retaliation and revenge rather than forgiveness, we must be prepared to be handed over by our personal and corporate choices to a world of violence and death in an unending cycle of victimizing and victimization. Forgiveness is the God-given creative process whose many outcomes include life, love, hope, joy, and a peace which passes human understanding. That is still tied to our violence and our slavery to death. But forgiveness isn't easy. It's graciously realistic. It deals with us where we are and calls us to live with God in cosmic humility, as Richard Rohr reminds us. The purpose of the church is to be a massive lost and found. You're here, right? It's in existence to demonstrate with exuberance that what was lost has been found. It's a place of rejoicing among those who are also in the process of being found. Indeed, church may be a very large and growing lost and found, a place of great reunions and great rejoicing. In today's gospel, Jesus talks to the disciples by way of a parable. And it starts out, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to. Now, what in the world can you compare the kingdom of heaven to on earth? And I want to suggest something to you. Every time we come to worship, the celebrant stands up and says, Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? How many of you cross yourselves? Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is a reminder that the blessing of God has come to be a cruciform shape. That this blessing of God is a recognition that God came to us without violence, without hatred, without malice, seeing us all as in need. And then we say, Blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Blessed be God's kingdom that is cruciform. It is shaped like the cross. In a real sense, the kingdom of heaven doesn't have anything you can compare it to. And so Jesus goes on and tells this story. And the word for king that Jesus uses in Matthew's gospel is anthropoi basilai. That is, there was a man, not God, who was a king. So we're talking about a way a human king might operate. And the way that king operates is, you know, we all like to be liked. We all like to be respected. And so here comes this man who owes a tremendous debt. And the solution that the king has is to sell the man into slavery and his whole family. But then in an act of mercy, he pities the poor fool. And he gets him off scot-free. How do we react when we're given forgiveness? Well, this parable tells about how this one gentleman did when he was given a debt-free experience. First thing he did was go out and find somebody that owed him a lot less money than he owed the master, right? And what does he do? He shakes him down. You give me what you owe me, or I'm going to throw you and your whole family into prison until you pay me back. I'm not sure how you pay back if you're in prison, but it seems like a no-win situation. And the other slaves start to talk. And they go to the master and say, you know, the guy that you forgave all that debt to, do you know what he's doing now? And the master, the king, goes nuts. He goes, bring that slave to me. Remember, this is a human caricaturization. He says, I gave you forgiveness of that debt. And rather than imitate my great generosity to someone who owed you money, what did you do? You acted the way I threatened you. And he says, you're done. And now you and your whole family go until you've paid the last penny. This parable is Jesus' way of saying, in the community of the church, when we experience the great forgiveness of God, of being found when we were lost, of being forgiven and shown mercy, that we have a choice about how we're going to behave. And we can choose to go out into the world and act differently, and act as if we'd never been forgiven, or we take advantage of our forgiveness to inflict pain and suffering on others. And so the run-up to today's gospel begins at the first part of chapter 18, where Jesus is talking about true greatness. And the way he demonstrates true greatness is he took a child, because this is what the disciples had on their mind all the time, who's number one? After you, Jesus. And he put a child in the middle of them. And he says, this is great humility. This child is the embodiment of humility, and it is of such that the kingdom of heaven is made. And then he talked about scandal and temptations to sin. Remember that line about if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out? And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, and so on? A little exaggeration, but whatever it is that causes you to take offense at another human being and to treat them without forgiveness and mercy, whatever that part of you is, get rid of it. Dump it. It's better that you dump that and enter into the fullness of God's life than to continue to hold on to that way of being human and lose the most important thing God has ever given you, your life. And then he brings in the parable of the Good Shepherd. The lost one sheep. He leaves 99 in the church and he goes looking for the one that's lost. And when he comes back with the lost lamb, how does he suggest that be celebrated? Party. Celebration. He says, it is the will of my Father to search and to find and to celebrate the lost ones who have now been found. And then Matthew inserts a section about how to deal with conflict in the church. And Rachel mentioned this last week in her sermon on Holy Cross Day, that every church always has conflict. And we always have the opportunity to act out this parable, to be the ones forgiven, and therefore how we deal with one another is somewhat mediated by the presence of the crucified one. Jesus says, if you've got a problem in the church, go and talk to the person you got a problem with. If they won't listen, take two or three others with you. And he ends it all by saying, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. I'm right there in the middle. He's right there in the middle as the saving victim. He's right there in the middle of our conflict. He's right there in the middle of the story that he told. He's right there in the middle, ready to take on how we deal with one another. He is there as the ultimate expression of cosmic humility, of groundedness in the love and forgiveness and mercy of God. And so then Peter goes on, because Peter's a very practical guy, as probably the church that Matthew was part of. He said, well, then how many times do I have to do this forgiveness thing? And he says, do I have to do it seven times? You know, we want to know exactly how much do I have to forgive. And Jesus says, no, 77 times, which is just an impossible thing. I worked at a place when I was in college, full time actually, and I worked at night, and I worked on a machine that every time I made a mistake, it damaged two parts. And the total cost of that little basin of parts was $1,800. And my supervisor said, you can make a mistake, this one mistake, that's fine. If you make the same mistake again, you're fired. So I could make a lot of mistakes, but I couldn't repeat my mistakes. So this question by Peter is a good question. How many times do we have to forgive? As church, forgiveness is the name of the game. You notice that Rachel will get up after we confess, and she will offer us absolution and forgiveness, right? And she's not going to go by and say, well, wait a minute, I see here that I'm not going to give you this, so just count yourself out of this. All you people that I'm not going to forgive, you just go over there. No, she gets up, and she does this wholesale forgiveness. Because you know what? You cannot change. You don't even have a chance at changing unless you know you've been forgiven. And this is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. It is the kingdom, the culture of God's forgiving love coming into this petri dish of humanity. And even when within the petri dish of humanity, he gets nailed on a cross, the DNA of God is undefeatable. And the presence of God is still here. And so we say, those of us who are part of the lost and found, blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and blessed be God's kingdom now and forever. Amen.